Hello, and welcome to The Essential Reads. My name is Isaac, and my goal is to bring to you a bunch of classic audiobooks in an easy and accessible way. We are continuing with Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, and we are nearly at the end. So, if you want to support the show, like, comment, share, subscribe, all of that stuff, leave a review if on podcast, or if you just want to support me in a more meaningful, impactful way, for no more than $1, you can support me on Patreon, where not only will you allow me to turn this into my full-time job, which would be fantastic, but you'll also be given access to exclusive audiobooks that you will only find on Patreon. Now, without further ado, let's dive in. Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, Chapter 41. The doctor was an old man, very nice, kind-looking old man. When I got him up, I told him he and my brother was over on Spanish Island hunting yesterday afternoon and camped on a piece of raft we found. And about midnight, he must have kicked his gun in his dreams, for it went off and shot him in the leg. And we wanted him to go over there and fix it and not say nothing about it, nor let anybody know, because we wanted to come home this evening and surprise the folks.
"Who's your folks?"
he says. "The Phelpses down yonder."
"Oh,"
he says. And after a minute, he says,
"How'd you say he got shot?"
"He had a dream," I says, "and it shot him."
"Singular dream?"
he says. So he lit up his lantern, got his saddlebag, and we started. But when he see the canoe, he didn't like the look of her. Said she was big enough for one, but didn't look pretty safe for two. I says, "Oh, you needn't be afeard, sir. She carried three of us easy enough."
"What three?"
"Why, me and Sid and the guns, that's what I mean."
"Huh,"
he says. But he put his foot on the gunwale and rocked her and shook his head and said he reckoned he'd look around for a bigger one. But they was all locked and chained, so he took my canoe and said it was for me to wait till he come back, or I could hunt around further, or maybe I better go down home and get him ready for the surprise if I wanted to. But I said I didn't, so I told him just how to find the raft, and then he started. I struck an idea pretty soon. I says to myself, suppose he can't fix that leg in just three shakes of a sheep's tail, as saying is. Supposing it takes him 3 or 4 days, what are we going to do? Lay around there till he lets the cat out of the bag? No, sir. I know what I'll do. I'll wait, and when he comes back, if he says he got to go any more, I'll get down there too, if I swim. And we'll take and time, and keep and shove down the river. And when time's done with him, we'll give him what he's worth. Or all we got, and then let him get ashore. So then I crept into a lumber pile to get some sleep. And the next time I waked up, the sun was away up over my head. I shot out, went for the doctor's house. But they told me he'd gone away in the night sometime or other and weren't back yet. Well, thinks I, that looks pretty powerful bad for Tom. And I'll dig out for the island right off. So away I shoved and turned the corner and nearly rammed my head into Uncle Silas's stomach. He says,
"Why, Tom, where you been all this time, you rascal?"
"I ain't been nowheres," I says. "Only just hunting the runaway here, me and Sid."
"Why, wherever did you go?"
he says. "Your aunt's been mighty uneasy." "She needn't," I says, "because we was all right. We followed the men and the dogs, but they outrun us, and we lost them. And we thought we heard them on the water, so we got in a canoe and took out after them, crossed over, but couldn't find nothing of them. So we cruised up along shore till we got kind of tired and beat out, and tied up the canoe and went to sleep and never waked up till about an hour ago. Then we paddled over here to hear the news. Sid's at the post office to see what he can hear, and I'm a branching out to get something to eat for us. And then we're going home. So then we went to the post office to get Sid. But just as I suspicioned, he weren't there. So the old man, he got a letter out of the office, and we waited a while longer. But Sid didn't come. So the old man said, come along. Let Sid foot it home, or canoe it, when he got done fooling around. But we would ride. I couldn't get him to let me stay and wait for Sid. And he said there weren't no use in it, and I must come along and let Aunt Sally see I was all right. When we got home, Aunt Sally was glad to see me, and she laughed and cried both, and hugged me, and gave me some lickings of hern that don't match shucks, and said she'd serve Sid the same when he come. And the place was plumb full of farmers and farmers' wives to dinner, and such other clack a body never heard. Old Miss Hotchkiss was the worst. Her tongue was a-going all the time. She says,
Well, Sister Phelps, I've ransacked that air cabin over, and I believe the nigger was crazy. I said so to Sister Damrel, didn't I, Sister Damrel?
Say's crazy, si.
Them's the very words I said.
You all heard me. He's crazy, si. Everything shows it, si. Look at that here grindstone. Si, wanna tell me any creature in the right mind goes scrabbling all them crazy things on a grindstone, si?
Here's sich and sich a person bust his heart. And here's so-and-so pegged along for 37 years and all that. Natural son of Louis, somebody in such everlasting rubbish. He's plumb crazy, si. Swy says in the first place. Swy says in the middle. And Swy says in the last, all the same time. The nigger's crazy. Crazy Nebuchadnezzar, si.
And look at that ladder made out of rags, Sister Hotchkiss. Says old Miss Daniel. What in the name of goodness could he ever want to?
That's the very words I was saying, no longer ago than this minute, Sister Utterbacker.
And she tell you so herself. She look at that air rag ladder, she, and says I look at it, si. What could he want it of it, si? She, Sister Hotchkiss, sissy.
But how in the nation they ever get the grindstone in there, anyway? And who dug that air hole?
No.
My very words, Bran Penrod. I was saying, pass that air sessor, molasses, won't you? I was saying to Sister Dunlap just this minute, how did they get that grindstone in there, si?
Well, that help, mind you, that help.
That's where it is. Don't tell me, si, what was the help, si?
And there was plenty of help, too, si. There's been a dozen helping that
and I lay out to get every in this place by finding out who done it, si, and moreover, si.
A dozen, says you. 40 couldn't done everything that's been done. Look at them case knives, saws, and things. How tedious they've been made. Look at that bed leg sawed off, weeks worth, just 6 men. Look at that nigger made out of straw on the bed, and look at...
You might well say it, Brer Hightower. It's just as I was saying to Brer Phelps and his own self.
Say, what you think of it, Sister Hotchkiss, say? Think of what Brer Phelps, say. Think of that bed leg sawed off that way, say. Think of it, say.
I never saw it off myself, say. Somebody sawed it, say. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it.
It may be no account, si, but sich as 'tis. It's my opinion, si. And if anybody can start a better one, si, let him do it, si. That's all. I says to Sister Dunlap, si,
Why, dogs my cats. There must have been a house full of niggas in there every night for 4 weeks to done all that work, Sister Phelps. Look at that shirt. Every last inch of it connived over with secret African writing done in blood. Must have been a raft of them at it right along all the time, most. Why, I'd give $2 to have it read to me. And as for the nigger that wrote it, I'd love I'd take and lash him to...
People to help him, Brother Marples? Well, I reckon you'd think so if you'd been in this house for a while back. Why, they stole everything they could lay their hands on. And we are watching all the time, mind you. They stole that shirt right off the line. And as for the sheet they made the rag ladder out of, there ain't no telling how many times they didn't steal that. And flour and candles and candlesticks and spoons. Oh, warming pan. Most 1,000 things I disremember now. And my new calico dress, and me, and Silas, and my Sid and Tom on the constant watch day and night, as I was telling you. And not one of us could catch hide, nor hair, nor sight, nor sound of him. And here, at the last minute, lo and behold you, they slides right under our noses and fools us. Not only fools us, but the Injun Territory robbers, too. And actually gets away with that, safe and sound. And with 16 men and 22 dogs right on their very heels all that time, I tell you, it just bangs anything I ever heard of. Why, spirits couldn't have done better and been no smarter. And I reckon they must have been spirits. Because you know our dogs, they know better. And them dogs never even got on track of them once. You explain that to me if you can, any of you.
Laws alive, I never.
So help me, I wouldn't have been.
House of thieves as well as...
Goodness gracious, I'd been afraid to live in such a...
Afraid to live? Well, I was that scared I didn't hardly go to bed, or get up, or lay down, or sit down, Sister Ridgway. Why, they'd steal the very... Why, goodness sakes, You can guess what kind of a fluster I was in by the time midnight come last night. I hope to gracious I weren't afraid they'd steal some of the family. I was just to that pass I didn't have no reasoning faculties no more. It looks foolish enough now, in the daytime. But I says to myself, there's my two poor boys asleep way upstairs in that lonesome room, and I declare to goodness I was that uneasy I crept up there and locked them in, I did. And anybody would, because you know when you get scared that way, and it keeps running on and getting worse and worse all the time. And your wits get addling, and you get to doing all sorts of wild things. And by, you think to yourself, supposing I was a boy, and I was way up there, and the door ain't locked, and you...
She stopped, looking kind of wondering. And then she turned her head round, slow. And when her eyes lit on me, she got up, took a walk. I says to myself, I can explain better how we come to not be in that room this morning if I go out to one side and study it over a little. So I done it. But I didn't go far, or she'd sent for me. And when it was late in the day, the people all went. And then I come in and told her the noise and shooting waked up me and Sid. And the door was locked, and we wanted to see the fun. So I went down the lightning rod, and both of us got hurt a little. And we didn't ever want to try that no more. And then I went on and told her all what I told Uncle Silas before. And then she'd forgive us, and maybe it was all right enough anyway. And about what a body might expect of boys. For all boys was pretty harum-skirm lot, as far as she could see. And so, as no harm had come of it, she judged she better put in her time for being grateful we was alive and well, and she had us still, instead of fretting over what was past and done. Since she kissed me, patted me on the head, and dropped into a kind of brown study, and pretty soon jumps up and says,
"Why, Lord's mercy, it's most night, and Sid not come yet. What has become of that boy?"
I see my chance, so I skips up and says, "I'll run up to town and get him," I says.
"No, you won't," says she. "You'll stay right where you are. One's enough to be lost at a time. If he ain't here to supper, your uncle'll go."
Well, he weren't there to supper, so right after supper, Uncle went. He come back about 10, a little uneasy, hadn't crossed Tom's track. Aunt Sally was a good deal uneasy. But Uncle Silas said there was no occasion to be. "Boys will be boys," he said. "And you'll see this one turn up in the morning. I'll sound and ride." So she had to be satisfied. But she said she'd set up for him a while, anyway, and keep a light burning so he could see it. And then, when I went up to bed, she come up with me and fetched her a candle and tucked me in and mothered me so good I felt mean, like I couldn't look her in the face. She sat down on the bed and talked with me a long time and said what a splendid boy Sid was, and didn't seem to want to ever stop talking about him, and kept asking me every now and then if I reckon he could have got lost or hurt, or maybe drowned, and might be laying at this minute somewhere suffering or dead, and she not by him to help him. So the tears would drip down, silent, and I would tell her that Sid was all right, and that he would be home in the morning, sure. And she would squeeze my hand, or maybe kiss me, and tell me to say it again, and keep on saying it, because it done her good. She was in so much trouble. And when she was going away, she looked down in my eyes, so steady and gentle, and says,
"This door ain't gonna be locked, Tom. And there's the window and the road. But you'll be good, won't you? And you won't go. For my sake."
Laws, no, I wanted to go, bad enough to see about Tom. Was all intended to go. But after that, I wouldn't have went. Not for kingdoms. But she was on my mind, and Tom was on my mind. So I slept very restless. And twice I went down the road away in the night, slipped round the front to see her sitting there, by her candle in the window, with her eyes towards the road, and the tears in them. And I wished I could do something for her. But I couldn't, only to swear that I wouldn't never do nothing to grieve her no more. And the third time, I waked up at dawn and slid down, and she was there yet, and her candle was most out. And her old gray head was resting on her hand, and she was asleep.
Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, share, all that jazz. And if you really enjoyed, do subscribe, because there is more to come. And if you're listening on podcasts, leave a review. It's the easiest way to get this in front of as many people as possible, and reading your reviews really makes my day. And if you want to support the show in a more concrete fashion, you can go to the Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you will have access to exclusive audiobooks and be contributing directly to me making audiobooks for you, which would be fantastic. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.